Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, real. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Let's go racing in Super Mario Kart Funny Car Madness! Only on Super NES, turn the track into a giant mud pit! Or burn rubber on ice, wood, or asphalt! Wild. Mix it up with the big boys! See Bowser and his Bigfoot pumping truck! See Yoshi's go-kart really go! Mushrooms, banana peels, turtle shells!
Dynamite!
Check your rear view and make a mean test! Or go into battle mode and ruin his day!
Two speed!
Fast and way too fast! It's two-player fun on the split screen! Only for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System! Now you're playing with power! Super power!
Wow. It's Dynamite. They stole from the Jimmy Walker?
Okay. Maybe.
Maybe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Play Retro. Yes, that's right. We're back. I'm your host, or one of your hosts, Scott Johnson. And the blue shell is still the worst thing ever to happen in video games. Oh, who am I kidding? I'd still play these games.
Oh, yeah, the blue shell. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And I need 150 cc's of cart speed stat. Son of a butt rocket. I just got rubber banded from first place to last place on that lap. And thanks to that Monkey Kong fella.
The Monkey Kong fella.
That's the guy. He's quite heavy. See, there he goes again. Yeah. Screw you, jerk.
Remind me. I just played it like a ton 2 days ago, but I can't remember now. Is Wario in the first Mario Kart, or did he come later?
I don't think he's in the first one. I don't think he's in the first one.
Hold on. Mario Kart.
I'm pretty sure he's not in the SNES Mario Kart that released in 1992. I don't think he came along until 64-bit.
Believe you are correct. I'm going to make sure this roster is correct here. Let's see. We've got, here's your characters. Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, Yoshi, Bowser, Donkey Kong Jr., Koopa Troopa, and Toad. You are correct. We did not have, there was no Wario or Waluigi, even though I'm pretty sure by around this time, at least Wario existed. He had his own games on the Game Boy.
Yeah, he did.
He just wasn't included in the party quite yet, you know?
No, he wasn't. They only could have so many on screen at one time, right? And Miyamoto says, who are we going to cut? Well, see ya, Wario.
Yeah. I like him, though, is my problem. I really like him. And I don't even know why
I like him. He's a lot of fun. Yeah. He's like all of us. So, you know, I guess Mario is supposed to be the de facto character that everybody's supposed to be able to associate and, you know, say, oh, that's like me. Mm-hmm. And that's a like a me. Yeah. But then me and you are more like Wario. Where's my mustache?
Yeah, bring him. Waluigi can fall over and land in a bucket of razor blades. I don't like him at all.
He's a little too evil.
I don't like
what
him.
Is that about? What is that all about?
He's just stupid evil. I don't like him at all.
It's weird. It's because Waluigi, he seems like he's even more evil.
Yeah,
it seems like I don't know. It's odd. It's not a fact.
It's more like he's trying to be more evil, and I think he's failing at it. I think he's not that evil.
I think you're right.
I think he's the kind of guy that if I saw him in public, I could kick him hard enough, and he'd just snap in half, and that'd be the end of Waluigi. He sucks.
He'd be done. He'd be done. I think if you break his mustache, he dies.
It's a fair point. Real quick here, I ordered – well, I showed Brian before the show, and I showed the chat room too. I'll pick it up again here, but I found a killer deal on some action figure stuff. And I grabbed the Halo Mongoose with Master Chief action figure deal. It was only $5 on Amazon. It was part of some Black Friday thing. So I don't think it's on sale anymore. But I was like, you know what? I can have that for $5. So I grabbed that. And then this is the one that's a little bit more retro. I think it's called Entertainment Monkey or something like that. Some website that does like, you know, nerd stuff or whatever. They had a sale.
Yeah.
for similar price, I think $4.99 or something plus shipping. For, and it hasn't gotten here yet. It should be here tomorrow. But it's old school Tron action figure that's like the 8-inch one, and it's Flynn from Tron.
My.
So it looks a little bit like, you know, Jeff Bridges and whatever. But it's like that old school ugly blue stupid helmet, like the cloth looking uniform. It's totally from that era, not like the newer stuff. And I loved that when I was a kid. So I was like, $5? Are you kidding? Of course I'm going to get that. I'm going to get that and put it right here. So it's not quite a video game, but I think of Tron all the time when I think of retro. And
I do too. And it's practically a video. It's almost like a movie about video game life, right? If you were able to step into a video game, essentially. So yeah, it qualifies.
And it was also part I had in my head. I was like, you know what? I need to start thinking about Christmas stuff and just kind of making a list or whatever. I know you've been working on like a retro gamer wish list. What's on your list? What would you ask for if Santa
were here?
Okay,
so for me, because these are the things that I personally don't have, but I'm always super excited about. Everybody keeps telling me, even though I don't have a PS5, Brian, the PS5 controller with its haptic feedback or its haptic whatever it is, it's supposed to be awesome.
It's called the DualSense controller, by the way.
I'm definitely falling for the hey, you know what would be cool, Brian? So it's Christmas time. That's when I get this crap, is that. And also, when I was playing the games for this past week, I was on the Nintendo Switch. Excuse me, I got choked.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say Nintendo, so I can't say it. It hurts my heart. But I said I was on the Nintendo Switch and I was signed up for the online again so I could do the SNES Mario Kart from there.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, I was like, hey, what? I just wanted to subscribe. And they said, hey, you want to order these controllers that are these old school NES controllers to go with your Switch? And I'm like, yeah.
They're kind
of
cool.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
And so I ordered those.
Did you get the N64 ones too or just the NES?
No, I didn't get the N64. I still can't pull the trigger on the N64 economy on the Switch. I can't do it because you got to pay a year in advance.
It's
weird. You got to pay for a whole year.
It's weird how they do it. I don't like it. It should just be part of the
basic
thing.
I know why they do
it,
because whenever I do it like about once a year, I'll get on there and I'll go, give me 3 months.
Yeah.
Because I'll play it for 3 months and then I won't play it for 6 months. I'm not giving you a year's worth of payment and then only play it for 3 months. I know how I am.
Yeah. I understand that
you
are too.
Yeah. So bump you. You're not getting the extra free, however many months that is. But yeah, I've been doing that and you always got a good pair of headphones every other year, I got to get a new pair of headphones. So I've got some Razer Black Shark version 2 Pro wireless gaming headset, THX 7.1 spatial surround sound, 50mm drivers with detachable mic, because it was on Black Friday special. It was like $99.
You know what I got a good deal on? I found...
What did you get a deal on, my friend?
Where is it? It's not in here, but I got some Anker Soundcore isolating headphones.
Oh, I love Anker stuff.
Those are great. Yeah. Freaking great.
That's what I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing my Soundcore. Very durable and
cheap.
Good sounding headphones. They're not like, they're not going to blow your, you know, you're not going to blow your pants off, but you know.
But they're really good. They have great sound and they were, I think I spent, $40 when you consider everything else out there is like 300 plus. Forget it.
Yeah. So it's a good deal. Vocal stuff is good. That's where it's at for us.
Anchor's weird. They're weird because they're good. I don't know why they're so good. Everything I ever buy from Anchor has always been great. Like
I have no problem with buying Anchor stuff.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I always know I'm going to get something quality, which weirds me out because I don't know why it's so cheap. I feel like slave kids are dying to build these things or something. Something's
that's how it
on.
Always is. Yeah. It's like, oh, God.
Can't explain it. Well, anyway.
Yeah, Audra bought some Christmas wrapping paper today from I guess Walmart or something. Anyway, she brought it home. She said, look, it's made for recycled stuff. It's not made from any real trees. And she went out, it was like a whole list of stuff, how environmentally sound this paper was. And I was like, oh man, they are definitely exploiting some children in a third world country.
Somebody somewhere paid for that. Oh yeah.
Right. Yes. There's an evil story somewhere about this wrapping paper. I don't know where it is. This maybe made all of it's just made out of lead. I don't know. Something's not right.
Some kids got a major paper cut while manufacturing it. Got meningitis. It's untreated. Who knows if he'll make it? Like that's the kind of world we're living in, man. That's what's going on. Well, anyway, that sounds fantastic. One final thing before we get going. As everybody knows, today we're talking about Mario Kart and the many cool games that came from it. Kind of a respond in that era. We're not going to get too modern, but some pretty cool stuff. And you ended up with a Mario Kart steering wheel, and I hate you for it.
I did. Oh, you don't have to take me for it. I think I got it for Christmas, actually, oddly, about 2 years ago, and they're around $80, and they only work with the Switch, but it is way cool. I love it. It's red. It's got.
Where is this thing?
Big old giant.
Is it handy?
What's that?
Is it handy there somewhere?
Yeah. Hold on a second. Let me grab it.
Okay. So, Chad, we'll do this for you, even though the listeners get home can't see it. I'll explain to them what we're seeing. Brian is currently up from his chair. Behind us, we see a television running a loop of Daytona, USA. Okay, here he comes back. Oh, look at this. When did that come out?
I love this. I think I got it the first year it came out, so it had to be like just a couple of years ago. But it's, you know, it's labeled with it's the red Mario, and it's got the big M in the front. It's a nice big beefy steering wheel. I like the fact that it has a D-pad on it, so I can actually just play this like a regular controller, just sitting at my steering
wheel. Yeah, most of them do that, right? Most of the, even like the console and PC stuff, those rigs all have buttons to correspond.
They
or whatever.
Do, but they try to get cute with it by making like they don't like have a D-pad. They have like a button that moves like a D-pad, and I'm like, don't do that. Just give me a freaking D-pad. It's fine. You're not breaking anything. Just do it. But this is a quality.
It's nice.
A quality steering wheel. Yeah, no force feedback.
Have you actually played a game with it? That's the big question.
Oh, yeah, I played plenty of games with it. Matter of fact, I got it out because when I got this steering wheel, I also got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Wow.
And this is a good modern experience.
No, it's fantastic. It's still the highest selling Switch game ever.
Yeah.
And is still on the top 10 charts every month, all the time. And will never go away. And they have brand new maps and crap for it now. There's a whole litany of DLC for it. And it's essentially the same game that was on the Wii U. And it was also the best-selling game on that device as well. Yeah. So congratulations, Mario Kart. You are the best kart racer of 2022.
You are. And this steering wheel makes it makes the experience really good. And I don't just hook it up to my desk or anything. I actually have a small... it's made for steering wheels. It's like a little small platform.
And so I
have a couple of them attached to it, including my HOTUS controller and stuff, and a little monitor. So I got
of course you have a HOTUS thing.
Yeah, it's cool, man. I like it. I dig it.
Do you have any
devices?
You got any eye tracking stuff or any of that for flight sim?
No, I haven't done that. No.
Okay. There's always time, Brian. There's time.
Yeah. But I did spend a good bit of time in Emu VR because it's that time of year again. I always like to break out my Oculus during this time of the year because they start having great deals on games.
Yeah.
And I played Emu VR, which allows you to – looks like you're in a 90s bedroom and it's got CRTs and stuff.
Oh, right. Funny you bring that up. This is the thing that you brought up a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
That made me go, we should do a retro show. It was all based on the conversation around EMU or Emu VR, which was just recreating this 90s bedroom with a television and all the consoles. You can put the disc in and play the game as if you were sitting there. Like all of that stuff is what spawned this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's still fun. And they still update. I think they have an update of like every 3 to 4 months. If I had to guess, there's probably another update coming out very soon. You don't have to have a headset. You don't have to have a Meta V. They have a desktop only launcher that you can do with this, and it's just Unity game engine. So it's the same setup, the same saves. Just one way you experience it in VR, another way you experience it by sitting there, and you can plug in your controllers through USB. I did that. I plugged in one of my PlayStation controllers into my computer, and it detects all of that stuff because it's just back-ended by RetroArch, and I played some kart races. I played some really weird kart races. It was a lot of fun.
I bet you did.
Always a lot of fun.
Real quick, this just reminded me. We are 2.5, almost 3 weeks away from the anniversary of the announcement of this show for 1 year.
Oh, wow. And
January 3rd will be the 1 year anniversary of Play Retro.
Oh, look at that. Look at us doing a whole year. Pod fade my butt. We'll never pod fade.
No, people don't.
We've missed precious few episodes. Yes.
No, we haven't. We've hardly missed any. Plus, we missed something for COVID. What else?
Yeah.
That's it, really. You may have missed one for COVID 1 week or something.
I think that's what happened. I think COVID's the only thing that has stopped
the
Play Retro Show. Yeah. I think that's the only thing that stopped it.
Which really sucks. So don't get it. Don't catch it. But now, this.
Shall we play a game?
This week's game, and set of games, really, but really the grand poopah daddy-o of the subgenre that we're going to call the kart racing subgenre is Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. This is the OG game, and it's awesome. I played more of the SNES Mario Kart this week than I thought I was going to, because what I thought I would do is I would just sort of touch into it, and then I would, you know, just keep moving. Like, you did right. I think you went a little deeper than I did. You ended up playing all the way up through Crash Team Racing and Diddy Kong and all that. And we'll get to all those. But I spent more time here than I thought I was going to, because honestly, I felt like I'd played it all. I played so much SNES Mario Kart back in the day that I didn't think there was any more for me to really play or enjoy. I was wrong. It's very fun. The game still rocks. Here's some audio from it. What you're hearing here is Donkey Kong, DK, riding in his wife beater. And
I forgot all about him riding in his wife beater. It's so weird.
He got a little wife beater shirt, and he's riding his little car around. This is me actually playing that you're seeing. Oh no, this isn't. This is somebody else's. I did play as him though a lot, and I was thinking I captured it, but I didn't. Anyway,
Is that your favorite one? Donkey Kong, is that your favorite?
I like Donkey Kong a lot, and then in later games, I'm a Wario main. I really like Wario a lot. I don't know why I lean toward the heavier character. I think probably because they're a little more durable and they don't fly around like paper when you get hit.
Yeah.
Some of them are, like Mario's pretty middle ground and with Luigi and stuff, but if you play like Princess Peach or Yoshi, Toad is the worst. They just fly around like they're made of nothing.
Yeah, you gotta be higher skill level to play those characters. They do have, I think, a faster acceleration, but it's really loosey goosey. So unless you got great control, which I do not with those D-pads.
No.
SNES D-pad. No. Not good at all.
Yeah, analog sticks would have been really useful back then, but
it did the job.
It was five course cup, where you could battle with your friends one-on-one. The way that they made the thing look the way it did was the Mode 7 graphics, which are a huge innovation for the Super NES. Now it looks all crappy and crusty, but at the time, this is a big deal, and the Genesis did not do this. It tried. It just couldn't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
This kind of scaling just didn't exist. And
no.
It was pretty cool. Do you have much experience with the original game, like back in the day?
I did. I played a good bit of the SNES version of Mario Kart, and then I didn't play it forever. Not the first one. Then I went back about 3 months ago, and I played it with some friends online. On the Nintendo Online service, and I was appalled. I was like, oh my god, I've played so many Mario Kart since then that I've totally forgotten that the coins and the item pickups are on the road.
Yep.
And it's like, what? Why am I driving over this stuff? This is stupid. And oh man, and the penalty, like the penalty for running off the road. Oh, I mean, like,
oh, it's you'll
deep.
Lose.
It's steep. Yeah, if you run off the road just a couple of times, it's just like you just hang it up. And using a D-pad, you know, like you said, it's a digital input, so it's very yes, no, and it's real easy to lose control and go off, and then have to have Leku is his name. Is that his name? Leku, the little cloud.
Yeah, he's the one that's always timing everything. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and he comes, he has to come get you. And oh my god, the tracks are just. But don't get me wrong. I just think there's just so many more enjoyable experiences with Mario Kart that I had a hard time getting into it this week. But it sounds like you had any trouble at all.
No, I didn't have any trouble. I don't know what it is about the 2D Mario Karts. And technically, the N64 game is still two-dimensional sprites in a 3D world. The characters, the cars, the carts rather, and then, you know, trees and some other objects are two-dimensional, flat 2D images, right. But the environments are 3D. My biggest problem with that game, though, was it suffered from serious rubber banding cheating toward the end. So if you were playing the computer and you were ahead, like, by miles, I guarantee you someone's going to catch right up to your ass. And suddenly Yoshi will poke his head around and go, oh, I was here the whole time, and I'm going to win now. I hated that.
I was right here. You just didn't see me. Hello, I'm Yoshi. Hello, hello.
That game really struggled with that. Future games would rectify that. The GameCube game, Double Dash, was an excellent advancement in the series. And, you know, since then, it just got better and better. But
I think, like, basketball games for me from this time period, once I adjusted to the way the rubber banding worked, and once I understood how the rubber banding worked, like, the further back you are, mm-hmm. you get better boost pickups, right? You get better pickups when you're further back.
That's
right?
Correct. Whoops. Sorry. Right? Yes, that is correct. Right? And it's weird because the game isn't overt about this. It doesn't tell you this, but where you are in line, I don't know if I like this or not. I kind of wish it was just more random. It's always kind of bothered me that I'm like, oh, I'm getting turbos at exactly the right time. How convenient. Or I'm getting, I don't know, another good. Well, in future games, the original game did not have the giant blue mushroom of death that didn't exist yet. And that thing's a piece of shit. And that started with the N64 and forward, I believe.
Yeah. Stupid blue shell always ruining my life.
Freaking blue shell of death. I hate it. And the problem with that thing was you ever get it if you're in first. You never got it if you were in second or third. You only got it if you were in last. Somebody else was already winning, and now you're going to make their day terrible by making them basically lose by using that thing. So I'm not saying, like, I guess while you're in the thick of it, you're glad that you're getting heat-seeking turtles or turtle shells at the right moment when you need them.
Right.
But I kind of wish the computer didn't do that. I wish it was a little bit more like an actual slot machine and just gave me what they gave me. Feels like it'd be more fair.
I can totally understand that. I think maybe we have to look at two different types of players because I do occasionally. I can hardly ever run a perfect race. It's just too. It just takes too much concentration to run a complete race without ever messing up once. I consider a good run if I mess up once or twice.
Right.
But with like this first one. If you mess up one or twice, you're just probably going to lose. With the N64, if you do mess up one or two times, you can get back to the front. And so if I'm at the front for some reason, let's say I get lucky and I don't mess up, I know I got to slow down.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
If I don't, I'm going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
So I use the game mechanic to my advantage, but I get you because it feels like it's not honest, right? Like you said, it's like the game doesn't tell you that it's going to rubber band, and so you're like, why is it all of a sudden appearing now at the perfect moment? I feel cheated. This game's lying to me.
Yeah, and I never liked that. It's one problem I've always had with the series. It's worse with the N64 than other subsequent games. They got better,
right?
But I still say the blue shell is way overpowered and cheaty.
It comes in the back of the field. And there's no way the person at the back of the field is probably going to catch up to the first place. All it does is knocks the first person out, and then the second place person
usually
exists by.
And and there's no stopping it. You can't defend against it. You can't swerve and miss it.
Right.
It's just going to get you, and it does way too much damage and displacement. It's freaking awful. I hate it. I do kind of wish they'd get rid of it, although it's responsible for one of my most popular prints that I sell. So that's kind of nice. But
I know. I think it should. Yeah, love that print. I think it should be like optional. Like you do lots of games. You set up the things. It's like, oh, do we're going to allow blue turtles shells? Sure. I wish it was if going forward, I wish that's how they would do it. It'd be like, okay, do we want to put these options up? Because the most fun with Mario Kart 8 is I have way more fun playing with other people than I did in previous games.
Oh yeah, 8 is way more group friendly. I wonder, does 8 have an option to turn off some of that in custom games? Maybe it does.
That's a good question. It'd be nice, and then we'd be sitting here talking about it and going, and people would say like, yeah, duh, Brian, it already does that. 12 players, wow, that's a lot of games.
That is a lot of games. So here are the items in the original game, and I want to read these for a reason, because I want to it gets to the core of why I think this series is so important and also so influential. You got the banana peel, and basically it can poop them out or throw them in front of you.
That's that we call that a first place pickup.
Yeah, first place pickup. That's all
first,
you get.
First place pickup.
Yep. That's all you get is freaking those peels, which I guess is bad for people immediately behind you. But
right.
Anyway, other carts hit them. They spin out of control. It sucks. It can be thrown backwards or forwards. Also used by Donkey Kong Jr. if he's CPU controlled, whether he has them or not. He'll throw some at you, by the way.
Oh, what a terror.
Fun side note.
I didn't know that.
Green shells. These are green shells that you can fire and hit somebody, either forward, back, or whatever. They also bounce off barriers, but eventually they'll break. If you throw it backwards, it will remain stationary in this game, although in subsequent games it actually fired it and it would literally fly backwards.
Right.
But in this particular version of the game, the first game, you just park it. It's like, it basically works like another banana peel, just easier to see.
Right. Did you know that in the N64 version that you can avoid the spin out with the bananas?
I didn't know that. Is that true?
I didn't know it either until I read it this week.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
This is what you do. This is what you do according to a short list, this article about the N64 and the bananas. If you hear your wheels start to squeak,
yeah,
use the brake, the B button, to negate the slipping rather than continue driving.
Really?
A music note will appear above your character's head to indicate you are successful.
That never happened to me.
I've never been able to do it. This same trick works when bumping into other kart racers, fiddles with your steering wheel, and then when losing your grip on Sherbert Land's ice. So basically, yeah, you got it. You can do it. You can get a little music note and say you're successful.
I did not know this was a thing. That actually is crazy. I really didn't know that.
Yeah.
Green shells, we talked about. Red shells act like green shells, except they home in, and they hit the target like a homing missile. Those are me favorites. The problem with that damn thing is you only get it when you're middle of the pack. You never get it in the front, and you never get it in the very rear. So
you never get it in the rear. Scott said it here.
They can only be thrown forward in this game. Newer games, you could throw it behind you. So.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah, and it always confuses me too, because I always forget when they introduced it. Because I'm like, oh, I'll just throw this behind me. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that here.
Yeah, you can't. It's absolutely true. Now there's some here that never made the cut later or didn't show up later, like the feather. Feather allows the player to perform a high jump, high enough to take normally impossible shortcuts and sail over obstacles and other racers. And it can be used by all the computer controlled opponents as well. That thing, I think, is here and that's it. That never happened again. Later, most of the Mario Karts from, I want to say, the DS game forward used the canopy umbrella thing mechanic.
Yeah, that gives
you like high flying coasty business. So I think maybe some of that functionality showed up there. But feather went away. The mushroom, it's one of the most common items and continues throughout the series. This is the basically it's a turbo boost and you can get three of them.
Right.
You grab that and you go fast. let's see. The star is obvious, probably to most people, but it basically makes you indestructible for a while.
Yeah, and the music changes. It gets really fun. Yeah.
Yep. Just based on the old Mario stuff. Pretty good.
Yep.
The ghost turns the user transparent for a few seconds and then steals the opponent's item. That showed up in the N64 and I think maybe Double Dash, but I don't think it's in the modern game. I don't think
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, in the modern game, they have that stupid squid ink thing that gets on your windshield.
Oh, yes.
Hate it.
Yes, the squid ink. It doesn't actually bother me too much. I'm usually not watching in the center of the screen where it usually ends up, so it's like, whatever, dude. I'm still driving. Suck it up.
It makes me super disoriented. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
The coin adds 2 coins to the total coin account, increasing your user's overall top speed. So I don't know, a lot of people don't know this, but these coins you're picking up, that's the effect. Yes. They increase your overall speed. And if people hit you,
top speed and your defense. So
correct.
Like if someone bumps into you, if Donkey Kong bumps into you and you're Peach, you can go, "Hey, get off me. I've got 10 coins."
Yeah. I'm a lady. Treat me like a true lady, she says.
That's right.
See that new trailer, by the way, that came out today? The new Mario movie trailer?
I haven't watched it yet. I was going to wait until after the show to watch it.
It just dropped, and there's some Mario Kart in it, which cracked me up.
Yes, I've heard that, and I'm excited.
Yeah, so that's cool. Yeah. Lightning Bolt shrinks all the racers except for the person who fired it, and that's still in all the games. Does not appear in battle mode, however.
I love dealing the lightning bolt. I always get pissed when somebody puts it on me.
Yeah, no, nothing feels better than you doing it, but having it done to you, you want to die. It's the worst.
Yeah, I know. As you laugh, as you run by.
I like
the battle mode in the SNES version.
Oh, it's really fun. Mario Kart. Yeah, it's really good.
I love the tank. It's like reminds me of Atari Tank.
It's kind of, yeah. It's also, isn't there, there's a version, I mean, the N64 had a version of that.
It did. I believe it
was okay, I think. I think the best multiplayer, like the best split screen doodah stuff was Double Dash. I have fond feelings for Double Dash.
Double Dash is good.
Yeah. GameCube got it figured out.
Yeah.
Let's move on now to the egg. The egg is no longer in the game. Here's what it did. Similar to the banana peel, except it hops a little bit. That's all.
Now the egg is that Yoshi's egg?
It's one of his children. His many children that he has that he doesn't take any responsibility for. He's the Elon Musk of dinosaur lizards. He just doesn't care.
This is what we're going to discover as we talk about these different kart racers. Mario Kart has probably the least amount of story of any of the karts. It is just straight up.
Oh, 100%.
Let's do some racing.
Yeah, especially the first one. Yeah. But even the newer ones, they just get right to it. There's no drawn out any story mode or any of that stuff. I guess I'm fine with, but there's some really creative things happening with Diddy Kong. There was really creative stuff that happened with Crash Team Racing with story that I think proved you could do more than they did. But for whatever reason, Mario's like, nah, we got this. We're just going to stick
with what we got. Miyamoto's like, nah,
yeah,
we got a winner here. Let's just stick with this.
This also had a fireball, like Mario's fireball, similar to Banana Peel, but it moves in a circular motion, making them harder to pass safely. That doesn't exist in that form anymore, but there is a fireball replacement now in the modern games, but it doesn't really behave like that. It's more like a just fire three of them and try to hit somebody. Final item is a poison mushroom. It's a stationary item. If one is run into, the victim shrinks as if hit with a lightning bolt. Shrunken racers who run into it revert to normal size once they hit it. They have a little period of being shrunk. It just works like the electric thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah, just more direct, like one person, right?
Yes.
Instead of everybody.
Now, here's where the probability stuff comes in. I just want to touch on this. According to the Japanese Nintendo official guidebook of the game, they've done a probability chart from letters ranging A, which is most likely to spawn and happen, to F being the most unlikely. So they went with high school grades. In the races, probability of obtaining an item depends on the track theme, on the current lap, on what lap you're on, and the rank of the driver. While in battle mode, the probability is not affected by any factor. So in that mode, you just get stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of cool. So in the main races, though, here's what you got. On Mario Circuit, I'll just give you an example. I won't do all of these. Mario Circuit, the one everybody knows, is kind of like the first big map or whatever. In fact, I think I can look at it. I think there's some racing going on right now. Yeah, there it is. Mario Circuit, if you get first, or if you're in first, you have a C chance of getting a turbo, F chance of getting a feather, F chance of unstoppableness.
Chance of getting any of that stuff.
You get a banana peel, you got a B chance, so that's why you're always getting those. You got C chance of getting the green shell, and a B chance, a higher chance of getting the red one, but since they're only stationary, they're not that great when you do them behind you. No chance of getting the ghost. D chance of getting the coin thing that is, gives you more coin power, and F chance of getting the electric thing. Now, if you're in fifth to eighth place, things change into your favor. You have an A chance of getting the turbo mushroom, F chance of getting the feather. The feather's actually kind of F across the board until you get to certain levels.
Right.
Because they're the ones with the actual shortcuts that matter. So having the jump, the higher jump and everything. The star, if you're in fifth to eighth, you have a C chance. E for both, both the banana peel and the green shell, and then an A chance of getting the blue, or the red shell, rather.
Holy crap.
Yeah, you're in line to get that all the time when you're in last. Because I guess that's just a good way to get ahead.
I guess somebody thought this through, I suppose, then, right?
I guess they did. And those people
makes me think that That sounds all sounds like it'd be easy to manipulate. It seems like, is there a mod for this? There needs to be mods for this.
Well, I don't know if there's mods. I mean, there weren't mods for your SNES, but I mean, maybe there were there were Game Shark codes or something. I don't know.
Ooh, Game Shark codes. Now we're talking. I gotta look it up.
Yeah, because I'll bet there's probably something that said, "Get rid of all green shells," or who knows?
Get rid of, kill Mario right out the gate. That's right. That's what I want to cheat. Yeah.
Did the old game? I just played it yesterday. Why don't I remember this? COVID brain. Did they have this, the three shells circle around you, acting as both a barrier and a fire them off thing?
I don't know. I'm thinking it feels like no, because that would be it feels like no, but I could be wrong.
I just played it. I don't remember. N64 definitely had it.
You can float super high with the Game Genie codes.
Oh, I'll bet. That sounds like one.
Track distortion. No, thanks.
What?
Have hard enough time.
How the hell does that work?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
I don't want to know either. I don't like the sound of that at all. It sounds 1,000
speed, no dust.
1,000 speed, no dust.
Yeah.
Okay.
All your cards, all cards except yours, do not move. I'm using that one.
Wait. So you just race nobody? You just win because no one went? That's stupid, isn't it? Doesn't that seem invisible. Stupid? That seems stupid.
Yeah.
I don't that know seems that. Dumb. I don't know that that's one I would want.
Oh, wait. I like this one. You can change Princess to Mario.
Okay, now we're in.
Yeah.
They were way ahead. They were progressives. They didn't even know it.
Right. I want to know if that changes the graphics. Are there two models, two sprite models? Is there the character model in this? I don't know.
I know there's a cart model and a sprite model, and then you mix and match them.
Right.
I think. Or maybe the carts are just really basic.
I like this cheat. Cheat number 32 in the Game Genie book. Poor CPU driving.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get. Of course, that's what you want.
Yes, that's what I want.
Because that's cheating. That's cheat. Good. That's Game Shark thing.
That's
cheating.
That's what I want. I want to cheat.
You had a bunch of other stuff in the courses, like water, lava, abyss, destructible blocks, dirt, chocolate mud.
Dirt.
Do you think they called it chocolate mud because they were just like, here at Nintendo, we don't like to talk about real dirty mud. We only talk about the chocolate mud. You know what I mean?
It's the chocolate, but it's delicious. You can't get dirty. Is it offensive? I don't know. That's a good question.
Because they all say, like, Mario Circuit, pavement and sand, donut plains, grassy, Ghost Valley, wooden, Bowser's Castle, stone, Choco Island, chocolate. That's just stupid. Whatever.
Oh, my God. They got a 400cc driving. Now, I think in the original, you had 50 and 100cc to choose from originally. And then if you, like, cleared all the cups, you would get the 150, and then if you did it with like three star, I believe it is.
I thought it maxed
across
out
all the cups, you could then get 200cc.
I thought it maxed out at 150, so that's new.
It may be, I'm trying to remember.
But the 400 sounds stupid dumb. How would you even?
It sounds like fun. Vroom!
I don't know, you'd be just. You just fling off into nowhere, into the chocolate is what you do.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's an interesting game with lots of... Now, okay, so the point I wanted to get back to, we are no stranger at this phase of video gaming to people trying to create driving games. There's a million of them. Go to the arcade and race a million Sega games, or come home and play a bunch of, race games. Like, these aren't... Racing games as a construct are not new in video games. But what's new... is this idea of let's forego any kind of realism, first of all. And then let's let these guys pick up weird shit and throw it at each other.
Yeah.
And also, what if it was a bunch of cool IPs that everybody loves, like Mario and his friends? It's kind of the perfect combination of ideas.
Yeah. It's battle racing, right? Instead of just racing to beat one another, at your driving skills.
Right.
It's basically Wacky Racers, right? I mean, it's what? What was that? Wacky Racers? Is that the name of the cartoon from the...
Wacky Racers was the Saturday morning cartoon, yeah.
Right, right. The ones where somebody's always cheating. Mm-hmm. Because that's basically what you're talking about here. You're talking about allowing the players to essentially cheat. If you imagine this is a true, just a plain race. Because where else do you... What other race world would you have where you can throw stuff at people?
Right.
You're obviously cheating, right?
Right.
You're leaving oil slicks. You're throwing bananas down. That's what this is. Cartoon come to life using your favorite Nintendo characters.
That's right.
Battle.
developed by EAD, which was a subsidiary of Nintendo. They're known mostly for designing the Mario games. They've worked on other stuff, though, like Legend of Zelda, Star Fox. This was their chief production officer, Satoru Iwata, and general manager, Shigeru Miyamoto, of course, and Takashi Tezuka. There's even a, did you know there's a Nintendo character based on the entire department called Mr. EAD? Or Mr. Eed? I don't know if you spell it, if you say it out, if you just do the
no, I did not. Thing. Mr. EAD?
Yeah.
Is it like a million backs of, oh my God, I'm looking at it now. Do you have a picture to pull up of that? It looks like that is the scariest. I have never seen this before in my life, but oh my God, it's like a giant, it's kind of like Wario meets Juggernaut or something. Is
I can't find it. Oh, like, look at that. What is this?
Yeah.
Really? This is it?
This is the guy, right? I guess.
Oh, my Lord. Why did we never see him do anything like get him in a game here, chat?
Yeah. It looks like Mario ate the Juggernaut from Marvel.
That is so weird.
And then his mustache got really big. Like,
wow.
Wario. Yeah,
that's Mr. EAD. And he is stupid looking.
I like him. He's fantastic. Was he ever in the?
He's not in Smash Brothers, and he's not in any of the Mario Karts. So I don't know where you see this.
And he goes back to F-Zero, right? Because that's the whole idea. They were looking at F-Zero being one of the primary characters for the SNES. It was supposed to be Mario. It was supposed to be this new set of characters for the SNES and F-Zero franchise. What was going to be the one doing it?
Let me tell you what's hilarious. I just did a search for Mr. EAD, and I'm looking at all these image results. And the image results for the first 30 or 40, almost even results, are this guy from Nintendo games and different renders and stuff. And then there's a hard break where every image after that is either a DHL plane, the yellow DHL delivery planes, or Osama bin Laden's face.
It kind of looks like he kind of does have Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, but why is he coming up in the results? Doesn't make any sense to me. Isn't that weird?
I don't know. I love it. Probably because people said, did you guys ever notice that Mr. EAD looks like who's in it? It's probably just messing with the algorithm, right?
Probably.
Just effing with it.
Who freaking knows? All right. That's the game. It started it all. It was amazing. A bunch of other stuff came after it. But the big thing that came after it that matters the most is this. Say, wait, that sounds a lot like Mario Kart. Well, you'd be correct. That is Mario Kart 64.
Which, 4 years later, baby, in time for Christmas. December the 14th, coming out, Mario Kart 64.
Which did not sound or seem like that big of a time jump. 4 years later is nothing.
Right.
That's just wild to me how quickly we got there. But because it took him a lot longer, I think, to make the... Like, Mario Kart 8 was, like, longer than 5 year break between the previous version and it. Or something like that. But anyway, this game came out. Massive hit. Sold a ton of copies of that cartridge. My two complaints. Rubber banding. And the models were not 3D. They were pre-rendered. And that bugged me. I don't know why. I just thought we're in a 3D world now. How come...
I'll be honest with you. Until I started doing research this past week, I had no idea that there were sprites. I thought it was just crappy 3D polygon rendering. I didn't know. I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
I didn't notice at all.
It's probably not a big deal. I don't know. Like, because I could. Well, it's because I noticed it. It just didn't feel like I feel like it's getting duped. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
and now I go back. I don't even actually care. I don't even care now. Right. But then I thought I cared, and I made a big deal out of it in my head. So it was real dumb.
It is crap. Oh, they're just sprites.
Yeah,
I want some polygons.
N64, good game though. Other than the rubber banding, like the multiplayer was great. The levels were real strong. A lot of those levels made it into remasters and future versions of the game, including the most recent. A bunch of things changed. Bigger roster. You know, you got the Wario in there saying, I'm not going to win and all that kind of thing.
Which made it a lot more fun. I mean, racing against Donkey Kong, he doesn't really smack talk, right?
No.
But you got smack talk coming up in the N64 version with Wario, and I loved it. It felt a lot more competitive.
This was a big deal. And I want to say these were $59 or something new, this cartridge.
Yeah, they probably were. It was, but... I played way more of the N64 Mario Kart than I ever did on the original Mario Kart. And Do we talk about the hopping, man? If you don't add hopping in your kart game, I don't like it nearly as much. I love to be able to do my turns and do a little hop.
Jump into that turn with a hop. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and get a little
slide. But even the original, the original game did that as well. The trick is that, how do I put this? For games that were trying to capture some of this magic, and there's been a million kart racers since. I mean, hell, there's a Garfield kart racer that's not very good.
Yes. Which one?
I don't know which. I can't
remember. There's two. One of them sucks and one of them's good, and they're both 99 cents this past. We can have both.
Oh. Well, the one with the one I always thought was better than everyone gave it credit for was what was it? Something recent-ish that was like that. It was surprisingly good. Anyway.
Was it a Nickelodeon card? Everybody has a card. So here's the formula.
Oh, that's the one. The Nickelodeon one's pretty good. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, the Nick is fantastic. So basically, anytime you have a group of cartoonish type characters and you put them on a cart and they battle race, I'm in. I'm in. Sign me up.
Yeah, why wouldn't you be in? You'd be in.
Yeah. Call it a rally. Call it, a kart game. Call it racing. I don't care. Just sign me up. I'm there.
Yeah, I'm kind of there, too. December 14th, 1996. This is Miyamoto again, kind of heading this job up. This time 3D backgrounds, sprites, characters, and carts, like we mentioned. And, tracks and stuff, elevation, walls, and all that. True 3D. It was a big jump. Big new space.
It was a big deal because everything was flat on the SNES version. And when you start, it actually kind of, I went from playing the SNES version to then I jumped over to the N64 version the same night. And it actually caused me a little bit of trouble because I'm like, oh, now I can't see what's coming up in certain areas, certain maps. I can't see what's going to happen. And it kind of added I had to start doing map memorization because I didn't, or at least look at the mini map.
Right.
And so it was a totally different experience. I didn't think they were this far apart, but man, they were leagues apart.
Yeah.
How gameplay and everything functions.
It was a good game. I don't know if I can play it now. I mean, I tried yesterday. And it was I was in there for a few minutes. I couldn't do it very
That's long. Funny. I played a good bit of this one. Just so I get a comparison before I started playing the next game we talk about, which I love. But there's those green shells you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Rotating around you. You had the mushrooms for a boost.
Yeah.
You had some ramps and things in certain maps where you could boost over things. And so if you hit them just right. There's a lot more variety of racing here. They definitely took it to the next level.
Yeah, and you got that Mario Kart 64. You get that bullcrap blue shell nightmare.
Yeah.
Unit.
So I was rating these things as I went along, and I was trying to figure out how that contextually they fit in the history of karts. And so I personally rated the Mario Kart, the SNES version in 92, I rated it as the originator, and then this Mario Kart 64 is the dominator. I think this one. We had more kart race games, but this is where, to me, it was solid. It dominates everything.
It did. You're right. The rubber banding notwithstanding, this is a permanent step into a new realm because all the games after it kind of followed suit. So there's that. Now, let's talk about this next one. That doesn't sound familiar to you, then you are lame because you didn't play one of the best N64 games ever made called Diddy Kong Racing from Rare Software in conjunction with Nintendo, obviously. And it is great, dude. Freaking Diddy Kong Racing is stupid and great at the same time.
I went into this past week with these kart games and people were all gone. We got to do Diddy Kong. And I'm like, I played Diddy Kong before. I'm like, I've been on the N64. I had Mario Kart 64. And I was like, whatever. It's just the stupid, take off on it. But I played it and I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I actually raced more. If you just jump into Diddy Kong and you just race like the first couple of races and you quit, you're not going to get it. This is Mario Kart, but man, it's the depth that goes beyond that when you start getting into planes and freaking hovercrafts and story and all. Yeah,
the story mode alone was the thing that really set it apart for me. It was like
boss fights,
stuff to do, you know?
Yeah,
not just race, but race with the purpose, and I thought that was really cool. You and I are in agreement here. I think Diddy Kong's awesome. I think it looks. How do I put this? Like a lot of the Rare N64 games at the time, they were like the thing on these devices. Now, they're some of the ugliest things I've ever seen. They're just ugly. And it's not their fault. It's not for lack of trying. They did use 3D models, though, for the characters. So yeah,
we got some polygons for the characters.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about
you know
some...
this? Did you know the wheels were sprites? I didn't know this.
Oh, no. No way they are, really?
Yeah, so I guess because of the amount, I guess because you have to texture the wheels to make them show they're spinning, and I guess it was just easier to make them sprites.
Yeah, fine with me. I like that kind of weird shortcut stuff. You gotta get out of the hardware or whatever you can. In fact, there's a video going around right now of the one of the programmers whose job it was to make the water work right in the new Forbidden West game on PlayStation 5. I can't think of the first part of the name. What's the name of that damn thing? Anyway, it's got beautiful water effects, and everybody's like, oh, man, that game's got amazing water. Well, he gets into why it looks as good as it does, and it is such a cool combination of, well, we're limited by this, and the hardware can only do this. Even though it's advanced hardware, it can only do this, so we had to do this and make this. And it's like all these little shortcuts and fakeries to get you where you need to be. And I always like that.
I love those unique solutions on how this stuff works. It's what innovation. That's where this goes. That's the reason why I labeled this one as the innovator, because it just doesn't. It's not a cookie cutter Mario Kart game. Even though if you look at it, you're like, oh yes, it's Mario Kart. But no, it gets a lot deeper than that. And I suck at the planes, by the way. Are you any good at flying the planes?
No, the planes are bad. They reverse the it's the wrong up or down. What's that called?
Right.
Y-axis, Z-axis, whatever it is. That's all effed up. And if I remember right, you couldn't change it. And
I don't know. I got after a few minutes, I got used to it, and I was doing okay.
I mean, it can be done clearly, but I just was so not used to it. I could never get the hang of it. But it introduced some new ideas. In fact, I feel like the spiritual successor to Diddy Kong Racing is those Sonic Racing games.
Yes,
because they have the cars turn into planes all the time, and
yes,
all that stuff totally reminds me of that.
In the new Mario Kart, you go in like a hovercraft mode. Your wheels come off. It's still pretty much the same control set, but it looks different.
It defies gravity, and you can go upside down and all that stuff. So they've got their own version of that. But those Sonic games in particular, the cars like transform from cars into like hovercraft or planes or whatever. It's pretty cool. That's actually a really good mention. Even though they're modern, we don't really cover modern games on this show, but if you're looking for a modern incarnation, we'll get to more of those later, but those Sonic Racing Unleashed, is it called? Racing. I think it's Racing.
This is another Christmas release. This came out around Christmas, and they sold big. Rare had a huge hit on their hands here with Diddy Kong Racing. And the story behind Diddy Kong Racing is well chronicled. How many years now has it been since it's been 97? So 24,
25, yeah.
So this is their 25th anniversary. There's a whole bunch of interviews out there on that I read, and it's an amazing story if you want to go deep dive on the Diddy Kong Racing. The story itself in the game is interesting too. You got this weird blue elephant. What's the blue elephant's name? Do you know? He comes up and he's got this almost it's right on the border of being offensive because he's kind of like got that Indian accent.
He floats on a carpet and all that. He's kind of a stereotype.
He flies on Aladdin's carpet and he awards you when you finish your race with a golden balloon. And you have to have so many balloons to open up new sections in this game. And so it's just hilarious. I do like how they did, instead of having the rubber banding like you don't like, they went with a bunch of other unique ways of handling it. Instead of randomly picking up things while you're racing, you can choose the color of the balloon you hit when you're racing.
Right.
And then you can have like an offensive or a defensive type element. Like you're watching on the screen right now, that he's hitting red balloons, and you can, if you get two of them, if you get one red balloon sometimes, it'll give you a rocket. If you get two, you'll get a homing rocket. And you can blast, which is really good for when, like, around corners and things when you're fighting this first boss that we're looking at.
Yeah,
who's what is he? What is he? A rhino? What is he? He's a jerk, is what he is.
He's a Triceratops butthole, is what he is.
All right, the Triceratops butthole. That's it.
Yeah,
you're racing against a Triceratops butthole.
Yeah, I watched you do it. You barely won in your video.
Oh, dude, I pulled it out the last second. But there wasn't like rubber banding. I did get lucky with my pickup at the time that I did. But also, that was a good bit of skill up until that point.
Yeah.
You know, it required my skill, which was crap. If I had a real skill, I would just beat him hands down. But instead, I just barely beat him, which is
awesome. The game does reward – this particular game rewards skill more than I think Mario Kart did.
Yeah.
And I always respected it for that. I kind of thought this would end up being like a venerable series and would always end up being a thing. I don't think Nintendo saw the money in it long term, or else they'd still be making Diddy Kong sequels, you know?
Well, I mean, Diddy Kong was Rare's character, because it wasn't like Donkey Kong Jr. They had looked at trying to make this into like a Donkey Kong or Donkey Kong Jr. And they said, no, if you're going to do that, then you have to do this with the character, or you can create your own character. And they said, okay, then we'll make a character called Diddy Kong. Sweet. And
same with Conker, right? Who's in this? Like Conker's Quest is a whole different game.
He's in this. Conker's Bad Fur Day. So is a lot of other Rare characters that have not even come out yet. Banjo-Kazooie's in this. He hasn't come out yet. I don't think Conker's Bad Fur Day had come out yet, which was supposed to come out the next year, but they used all these models they had. They don't interact with them much. You just choose them and play them.
Yeah, you can just beat them if you want to race them or whatever. In the multiplayer, you can choose different dudes and stuff. But I just thought, I don't know, at the time I thought, oh, this is 100% Nintendo. And it turns out in the end it was more Rare than it was ever Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, I love one of the most stressful parts of this game. It's when you have to protect this. So you're on the first, you're in Diddy Land.
Yeah, Diddy
Land. And you're going against Whiz Pig. He's an intergalactic antagonist. He's a wizarding pig named Whiz Pig. You know,
like you do, stuff. Whiz Pig, sure.
Yeah, like you're Whiz Pig. And so you got it. There's like one area where you got to pick up and protect dino eggs. So you got to go, like, you got to fly your plane into the middle of the map and pick up an egg and take it back to your little nest, which has a picture of you on it. And then you have to collect so many of them, but you also have to fight against people coming and stealing your egg.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, it's so stress inducing.
It's super stress inducing, but it's great. It's good. It's just got a lot of varied gameplay. It's the reason Rare is awesome. We like Diddy Kong a lot.
Yeah. We like Diddy Kong a lot. I can't say enough about Diddy Kong, and the music is so good.
Yeah.
It's just so fun.
Now, up to now, we've stayed in Nintendo's backyard, but we're about to jump across the street and go to Sid's house, and this happens.
Welcome to the Adventure Arena. You can travel around this area and practice your driving skills.
All right. That doesn't sound familiar. Let me fill you in. The popular Sony franchise, Crash Bandicoot 1 and 2, would spawn a kart racer called Crash Team Racing.
Yes.
We are looking at a modified version of the original game. So if it doesn't look as crusty as your PS1, that's why, chat, if you're watching live. But
it does. It looks smooth. My PS1, I did emulate it through the Mr. FPGA using that core, and it did not look like this.
This looks much better. This is still the original game. So there's a Nitro Refueled version of the game that came out just some years ago that is just a remaster of the game.
Right.
It's fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
It is 100%.
Naughty Dog, you did good.
Yeah, it's everything you love about the original game, but they prettied that thing up. The remaster of all the Crash Bandicoots looks amazing.
Yeah.
But they're all using, you know, like a modern engine now, and this really benefited from that. So that's the version I'm going to recommend today, even though, you know, there's some value in playing the old thing. If I were you, if you're going to start a new save on something, just get that new game. You play it on your PC, your Xbox, your PlayStation, whatever, your Switch. I have it on Switch. I have it on Xbox. I think I have it on PC as well. But anyway, Crash Team Racing is a pretty rad attempt to duplicate what makes the kart racer good. This came out in 99, and you race as characters from the Crash series. As we mentioned, it has a hub world, a story, I think taking cards from the Diddy Kong idea box, you know, a little bit there.
Yes. Well, I mean, the boxes, the question boxes are also, you know, from the Crash series. But they're taking the best parts of Diddy Kong and Mario Kart and making something pretty good. You got a hub world.
Yep.
That's kind of more like Diddy Kong. And I love this one. I'm gonna name this one Duplicator.
That's a pretty good way of saying it. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
The Duplicator.
The Duplicator. They didn't really innovate anything, but they took the best parts. They cherry picked the best parts in the series from other kart games. And they kept it in here, and I think it works really well. And I love the attitude that Naughty Dog brings to race games like this.
Yeah.
The smack talk is amazing.
Yeah, and it was definitely a Sony effort. You know, it felt very, very PlayStation at the time. And it's a really good one of these. And I think the modern remake of it is, I know I keep bringing it up, but I'm going to say it again. Go buy that thing. It's good. It's cheap.
Yeah.
I think it's $19 normally and get it on sale all the time. It's totally worth grabbing.
I did kind of laugh at the, they've got, instead of like having a lot of text on screen, they have the Tiki guy show up and he explains and he does it in such a dry manner.
That guy's amazing. I love him.
Yeah, he's kind of hilarious. But instead of coins this time around or bananas like in Diddy Kong, we got the Wumpa Fruit, which is very on brand for Crash Bandicoot. And same effect as the other ones. You get so many Wumpa Fruits, it makes you go faster. And I think there's something going on too with the slides here that like will it'll accumulate a boost, which you saw them using earlier.
So Nintendo uses that now. Addition to, you can get boosts through the traditional pickup way, but this game did this thing where if you got into a drift and you held it for however long it takes to get three charges, you get a boost out of that. And if that sounds familiar from your Mario Kart games, that's because those all do that now too and have for, I think maybe they get, I don't want to just come out and say Nintendo stole it from this, but I kind of think they did.
Yeah, I think all this stuff is fine though. It's not really stealing. It's just like, you know, when you got a subgenre of racing like this, I think it improves the quality of life for all these games. I think it's a smart thing to do because like it was missing something. It's the reason why you hate the rubber banding in N64 because the catch-up mechanic there wasn't really skill-based. Yeah. This allows you to do a skill-based move that if you're behind, it can get you caught back up a little bit. So it's really smart. It's really smart.
Now, there's some games we haven't talked about. We're only going to touch on these.
Because most of them are crap. Even kind some of them crap. Are really awesome.
Some are okay. I got one in particular I think is the best of the entire bunch and, in fact, rivals the original. But let's mention them. South Park Rally. I bought that. I had that.
It was on everything. It was on the N64, the PS1, the Dreamcast, the Windows. I had the Windows version. I had it. I loved South Park at the time in 2000.
Yep.
And, man, I loved that world. But holy hell, that's not a fun game to play.
Nope.
It is infuriating.
Yeah, it's clunky.
It is very, like you said, it's very clunky. If you're a South Park fan, you'll love all the fan service, but the game mechanics of it are terrible. Like, you got to hit numbered checkpoints, and those checkpoints that you have to hit when the maps are laid out, sometimes you'll cross across number 4 before on your way to get to number 1, and it gets really confusing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot going on.
Do you remember when they had... they did a first person shooter that was based on the Turok engine, the dinosaur.
Game.
That was a weird South Park game because their basic weapon was just throwing snowballs. I thought that was great.
South Park is always been great about interacting with the gaming community, and they will just throw everything at the wall until something sticks. And like the Stick of Truth, which is great.
No, Stick of Truth is so good. I love Stick of Truth. I love that. I love the fractured butthole one.
Yeah, fractured butthole. Yeah.
Awesome.
They've gotten a lot better over the years.
There's Mickey Speedway. That's not a good game.
I'm going to disagree. This is also a Rare game that did Diddy Kong. I think it's okay.
I think it's bad.
The worst part about this game is their smack talk because they've got these really short sound clips, and it's just like, and it's just like they're just constantly going with their smack talk all the way, and it's always the same little
very
sound
repetitive,
over and over again.
Yeah, super repetitive.
But the racing itself is not bad, and it's got all the hallmarks, you know, the item pickups and the battle racing and all that stuff.
I'm going to say that you're right about everything except that the gameplay is not good. I think it's bad.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's not the worst thing you've ever played, but it's pretty close.
Right.
That was on the N64 and Game Boy is where that showed up. Yes. Came out in 2000, which may have been a little late for those platforms, but whatever.
Yeah.
Atari Carts. This is a weird one. I've played this, and it's also on that 50-year compilation that's out right now.
Oh, is it on the 50-year compilation? It was for the Jaguar, 1995, a couple years
Jaguar game, and it is... it's rough. I have mixed feelings about it because part of me likes the dirty, gritty, gross look of it.
Right.
But it's there's like this weird, like when you bump into another cart, it pushes you back.
Yes.
And there's nothing that kills momentum more in a game like this. It's just this feeling of like, well, I'm pushed back. I guess I'm going to deal with it.
It's worse than hitting zero. It's like you get knocked back. Yeah. It's just like, it's terrible. You're right. The knockback is horrible in this game. And there's no recognizable characters. You know, you're not playing Pac-Man or nothing like that, which there's the Pac-Man racer too, I believe, isn't there? Or he's been in the arcade version of the Mario Karts for sure.
Correct. Pac-Man showed up in the arcade thing. I don't think he's been in any of the home stuff, although I think Pac-Man may have had a kart racer.
He probably had a kart racer. I just can't remember. I'm sure he, I can't remember either. I don't know if I'm confusing it with the arcade Mario Kart or if there's actually a full version. It's probably a full version.
Yeah. Now, Atari Karts was interesting in that it tried to bring a bunch of, I guess you could call them mascots of the Atari era were in here.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out what the mascots were. I was like,
None of them are familiar to me. I don't know if they're supposed to be taken from other stuff, but like, you know, it's not like you can make an asteroid driving a car.
Well, I mean, Pitfall Harry, that'd be nice to see. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
That's true. Yeah. I always forget about Pitfall Harry. He'd be a good one.
Maybe a guy on some kind of like a jouster or something. Maybe one of those kind of guys. I appreciate that.
Another one would be
just a paddle.
Yeah, you know, just a paddle. Sure. Just a paddle. That's all you need. Do you ever play the DOS game Wacky Wheels in 94 from Apogee Software? Do you ever try that?
I did not. And man, people wouldn't stop telling me I needed to play Wacky Wheels this week while I was doing, and Steam sale was going on. It's a little bit before Christmas on Steam, and everything is on sale. And I picked this up on there for 99 cents.
Yeah.
And I got to say, it is Terra Bad Good. I love it. It's 1994, right, same time as the, right before the Atari carts. And it's, oh my God.
Yeah. It's pretty cheese ball.
It's cheese ball, but yeah. I kind of liked it though. There's something rudimentary, charming about it. It's weird.
Now
it kind of works.
I'm going to tell you about a game that is, I think, possibly the best one of these, at least in the 2D range. Okay,
right.
This game is called Konami Crazy Racers. It came out on the Game Boy Advance 2001. Okay. This is the one I've easily played the most of while prepping for today's show. And a lot of people don't even remember this. Konami made a...
I don't remember this at all.
They made a Mario Kart ripoff. Not ripoff, but you know what I mean. They made one of
these. With Konami characters?
Correct. So, like, there's stuff like Simon Belmont, or, you know...
Oh, my God.
It's very weird. And it's very fun. It's some of the most fun I've had with one of these. There's a baseball diamond level where you got to race around this baseball diamond. And there's baseballs being chucked at you at one part of it, and you have to avoid these freaking things, or else you're going to get killed. Anyway, it's...
Oh, I like the character select screen, too. It's instead of having, like, boxes of characters, you got, like, this portrait of mural of different characters. I guess you're using your pad to move around on to pick one.
I couldn't tell you who 90% of these characters are, although I believe...
Is that Qbert?
No, it's more like a floating... octopus-like creature? I'm not really sure.
Okay. I was trying to find out. I was like, I don't remember Konami having Qbert, but okay.
Yeah. It's very, very fun. I absolutely love it. It's a ton of, you know, it's what, if you've played Mario Kart, you know what you're in for here. Like, it's straight up of that. There's something about the speed of it. There's something about the slightly less down to the ground angle. It's like brought up a little bit. Feel like you have a better shot of the race, the raceway. Right. And so if you're like at home going, I'm going to play a bunch of these and I'm going to, you know, emulate these, do not sleep on Konami Crazy Racers. Gameplay wise, it's maybe the best. It doesn't really win any points for IP or like, hey, look how cool we are. You know, I mean, literally one of the baseball stages is because they had a popular baseball game at the time. Like, it's dumb.
Right. Look how fast it goes too. It's way faster than
Mario Kart was.
Yeah.
And just had some really creative stuff. I really like this game a lot and would highly recommend it. And
jumps, it's got item pickups, it's got launchable items. I like all of it.
It's very good. Highly recommend it. The thing to mention too is that, you know, there was a Mario Kart for the GBA, there was Mario Kart for the DS, and you know, everything since the Wii. We're not talking about all of those, but they're all really good in their own way. DS in particular had one of the best Mario Kart games ever made, I think. And Double Dash, but I think it was just called Mario Kart DS, I think.
Right.
Is that it? I think that was a seven. Maybe it was called seven. I don't remember.
I think it is. I think you're right. I think it's seven. That's the one I have. I think I have that one for my 2DS.
Yeah. And it's very good. So what I'm saying, I guess, is, and 3DS game also very good. Like they're all very good games. Yeah. But I think, you know, focusing on these titular ones is the way to go. So nice work there, Nintendo and Acclaim and Rare and Disney and Naughty Dog and all you people that said, hey, we should make a kart racer too. Well, Nintendo said, yeah, we're the original. We're the OG. F you. We're cool. You're not cool. You know,
we did this. We did this. They did. And I've spent many. Something about kart racers and Christmas, I thought maybe was my imagination, but it seems like a lot of them do seem to be coming out during the Christmas.
They are kind of a Christmas thing, aren't they? That's true.
Yeah, they're kind of a Christmas thing. Look, there's my DS version right there, my 3DS version of Mario Kart 7.
I think they might also. Oh, hold it up again. Let me see it. Sorry, I missed it. Oh, look at that, you guys. Yeah. Oh, I had that game too. I loved it.
Yep.
That's the 3DS game though, right? Not 2DS.
Yeah, that's the 3DS version.
Or 3DS, I thought
I had the earlier version, but this is for my 2DS, by the way. Ooh, don't you love my 2DS version?
I like the 2DS. I'm a fan.
I love my 2DS.
I'm a fan. That's what I have as well. I like it. The larger clamshell one is great.
Yes.
I forgot what they call it.
White and orange.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
But here's what's interesting. We're now to a place where unless you are, you know, and even this isn't guaranteed, but unless you're in Need for Speed or... I don't know, Wipeout, maybe even Wipeout can't do it anymore. I guess what I'm saying is racing games. Oh, I know who I'm thinking of, Forza or freaking Gran Turismo or something. Unless you're one of those, racing games, real hard to break in anymore. It's not really a big moneymaker. However, kart racers as a subgenre of racing and action, different animal. Like you can sell a ton of those. And I think they should continually to make, everyone should keep making them. I would play, you know what I'd play tomorrow? I'd play a Mad Max Fury Road themed, big headed. They don't have to be realistic. Little chibi characters, you know, pick Morton Joe. I'm telling you right now, that would be amazing.
Yeah. I would do that. Why? We need to have our first Play Retro developed game right now. We'll bankroll that puppy right there.
Yeah, we know we can't get the IP, so we'll make up our own Wasteland characters, but I'm ready. Let's do it.
Now, I was looking for some recent kart games. The Nickelodeon kart is 2022. There's a game that is amazing called Kart Rider Drift. Mm. You seen that one?
No, these never. I've never even heard of that.
Games. Yeah.
Yeah. How's the I heard the one from with all the Fox characters like Hank Hill and Family Guy and all that are supposed to be.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was decent too. That one's okay.
I heard that one's
that's
right.
Kind of like on point with all these things.
Yeah, I feel like if I'm going to try a newer one right now just for funsies, I think that Nickelodeon one's pretty strong.
Yeah.
And I keep saying the Sonic one, but it's actually some many years old now, so they haven't had anything new for a while. But that Sonic Racer one is great. Mm-hmm. And my number one reason for liking the Sonic Racer game the most is how stupid and diverse the characters are. So you got Sonic, perfect sense, little blue car, big old Sonic head, you know, Knuckles, everybody looks like that. It's like, okay, cool. And then next to him, you got the black guy from Crazy Taxi, which is weird.
Yeah.
And then next to that, you got the Shenmue guy driving around just a car. Like, it's just weird. Sega's weird, man. Highly recommend checking that out.
Coffee Scroll just blew my mind because I didn't think about this. You know, there's Tux Kart. Have you ever played that before?
No.
It's like the first thing I usually install whenever I do any Linux install.
No, tell me more. What is Tux Kart?
So Tux Kart is just you've seen the Linux Penguin, right?
Oh yeah.
It's just a kart racer with that character.
And is that his name is Tux?
Yeah, Tux, T-U-X.
Okay. Right.
And I didn't even think about playing that for this. But they got Super Tux Car. I bet that's open source. I bet we could drop some models in there and make our own Play Retro version of Tux Kart. It plays on other systems too. It's just
look at this. That's good. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I would. Yeah, I'd play this. I mean, it looks like just another kart racer, but I'd play it.
That's the great thing. That's the great thing about kart race. The game loop is so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just add little things to it. You put your own characters in it, and it's hard not to enjoy because part of the fun is you know, the characters and their noises, and you know, just being creative with the tracks,
yeah,
and that kind of stuff. I mean, there's just
so what other characters do you have besides the Penguin in the Linux world? Is it just him?
Or? I think it's there's I want to say like they pull stuff like Thunderbird, any like open source project that might have like a mascot. I don't know if they ever used the Firefox. Did they ever use that?
Oh, that'd be a good one. Stuff? That would make sense, right? Anything like Firefox or
Pigeon. So yeah, usually it's like open source projects with like that might have you know, characters like new GNU, which is the Ox thing and that kind of stuff. Yeah,
this looks all right. It looks stupid, but it looks all right.
It's fun and it's free and it's open source, and you know, it's like you got no excuse. I mean, the OS is free. You got an old machine sitting around somewhere. Throw a little, you know, a little small Linux on there, and throw text, and you're racing. You got it.
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, Bob's your uncle.
Yep. Now this
Tux is your cousin.
Tux is your cousin. Destroy it. I don't want Tux to be my cousin. We're gonna play.
Don't kiss Tux.
No,
he's your cousin.
That's right. We're gonna do Guess My Game. This is where we play a little audio from an old game and try to guess what each other brought to the table. I'm gonna start this week with something from the year 1995, and I think this is close to yours is 92, 95 for me. This is on the Sega Genesis, and it is. That's all I'm gonna tell you. Unless there, I'm trying to think. There's another hint I could give early. Let's call this a spinoff. If that helps you.
Let's call it a spinoff.
All right,
it's
here
not
we
a
go.
Comeback, baby, as a spinoff.
That's right. I've been saying it for years or whatever he says. Okay, here we go.
This sounds familiar.
Some of the best music on the Genesis from this series. Say that should be a giveaway.
I know, I've played this. What is this?
There's some stuff kind of that'll probably give it away. Hold on.
Almost feels like the swimming parts in Ape Escape when you're swimming underwater.
You're so close. You actually you're closer than you think. Okay. It's definitely not Ape Escape, but
okay.
This is a PlayStation only thing, right?
Yeah.
Ape Escape. Yeah. All right. How about this part? Let's skip to this bit. Any of that familiar?
This all sounds terribly familiar, but I can't get the visual of it.
It's hard. Here's some more music. It's probably too hard.
Give me my hints again. Give me my hints again one more time.
Okay, your hints are 1995, Sega Genesis. Right. I'll say it's a Sega original, so this is a Sega published title. Wow. And it's a spinoff of a popular Sega game. That's very similar almost in every way, but it's a spinoff technically. And you know what? The further hint I'll give you is this is a spinoff that was kind of meant to get kids more into the series. Not that the first one was that serious, but it's kind of a serious source material, so the second one's a little bit more kid-focused.
Right. I don't know. I'm going to kick myself when you tell me, because I just know I know this. I've heard this a million times.
Chat room got it. All right, I'm going to tell you.
What is it?
It's Echo Junior, so Echo the Dolphin.
Echo Junior. Okay, so that's why it sounds like watery sounds.
Yep. Okay. Lots of water, lots of stuff you could choose. In this game, you could choose between the dolphin, a shark, and a killer whale.
I'm so confused now because I was thinking, oh, I know what I'm thinking. Oh my God, of course not. I kept thinking, oh, go ahead.
What were you thinking?
That makes sense. I was thinking Echo didn't come out until later. I thought that was a Saturn, but I was thinking of something else.
Oh, hell no. That was a big Genesis deal.
It was Genesis. It was.
And Sega CD, the Sega CD version of that was also like, awesome, because the music in that game is so good. Oh,
yeah,
so good.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking it was on the CD, and I was thinking Sega Saturn, but it was probably the other.
Well, there you go. Let's see if I fare any better. Tell me
that
about
was
your
good
game.
Though. I never played Echo Junior, but it's it fun. Must have some of the same like music that the original Echo had.
Yeah, it totally does. And I played it for. Yeah. I thought I was only going to have it on for about 10 minutes to capture, and I ended up playing an hour of it. I really liked it.
Okay.
It's good. Okay, tell me yours, or give me some hints.
Sega Genesis 1992.
Oh, my Lord. We're both on the genocide today.
Yes, we are. It's a good system.
All right, let's play it.
Hey, we're platforming in 1992 on the Sega Genesis.
We're platforming, are we?
So 1992.
Oh, yeah. Some cool stereo going on.
Yeah.
I like
developed
that.
And published by Sega.
Well, we've talked about... Is this one that touted some fake tech or something? They were always doing that.
Right.
Like blast processing was always a thing, but then they would do like, this new game, it's like 3D, but not really. I don't know.
It's like 3D, dude. No, this is a little platforming game. I don't think there's anything special about the technology necessarily. Let's see.
I don't know. Give me another hint. Give me a...
Let's see. What else is... Let's see. How about this? In the game, a boss character with artificial intelligence in a virtual reality video game begins abducting players.
Oh, geez.
How about that?
It has some story to it, eh?
It has some story. It's a platformer, you know. It's just a little.
Is it super cartoony or more serious? Or?
Oh, no, it's very cartoony.
Very cartoony.
It's full of attitude. How about that? I'll do that, too. It's full of attitude.
The Acrobat game. Astro,
yes,
the Acrobat.
Yes, Acrobat.
Is that it?
No, not even close.
Oh, geez, I thought I got it. give me one more hint.
Let's see.
Billy Mitchell and his grand adventure. No, not Billy Mitchell.
There
Billy-
you go. Billy Mitchell and his grand adventure. You nailed it. Got it.
No, it's Billy Kid or Kid. Kid.
Billy Kid.
Billy the Kid. Not Billy the Kid. Something Kid. Alex Kid. Is it that it?
Alex Kid. You got it. There you go.
Did I really?
Wrong system.
Damn it. No. Alex Kid was on Sega stuff, wasn't it? Oh, he's on Master System. I don't know if he's on Genesis or not. Alex Kidd is definitely a Genesis or a Sega property. So it's not, but it's not Alex Kidd.
No.
I have no freaking idea. I give up.
It's Kid Chameleon.
Oh, shit. I was right about the kid part.
You were right on the kid part.
Damn
so
it.
Close.
Damn it. Kid Chameleon. I'm trying to remember the game. Did I play? Let's look it up. Kid Chameleon.
This would have been 92. You might not have been into this type of game at that time. It might have been a little too
I like platformers, man. As a fan. Yeah. I remember this. This is an early Genesis title.
Oh yeah.
Like early. Hold on. Gameplay. Let's just take a quick look at this chat. You know what? It's kind of ringing a bell. I don't think I ever played it, but I remember seeing this.
Yeah. You was right. Alex Kidd did make it to the Sega Genesis in The Enchanted Castle. I'd never played that one.
Yeah. I mean, the original Alex Kidds were all...
Yeah, Master Systems.
Right. Master Systems. I knew they were Sega, though, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is Alex Kidd still fun? Is that worth looking at?
I don't know. We need to look at it eventually, though, I think. That's one of those games that I think would be a great episode. Kill it.
Such a weird... I can't even tell what this character is doing. Look at him running with this stupid thing.
What are you doing with your stupid thing?
Hey, what are you doing, buddy? You're like a chameleon. All right. Nicely done.
That was the gimmick, right? That was the gimmick.
That was the gimmick. Yeah. He turned into other stuff and became a dude.
Welcome.
He's been 10 for the 90s.
He's seen some stuff, man. I don't think he's coming back. I don't think Sega's about to revive the Kid Chameleon series.
No, he's kind of stuck in time.
That music means it's time for our emails. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com is where we get them. We got one from Jonathan Gilbert, who says, "Hello, Scott and Brian. My third time sending an email in. I've been listening for a long time now, and the shift to Play Retro was scary at first. I don't like change."
Yes, it is. Burr.
Yeah, burr. "I really appreciate your content, and I found that I enjoy the new stuff immensely." Well, thank you, Jonathan Gilbert.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jonathan.
I mean, it wasn't really a shift. It's a new show.
Yeah.
But I know what he means.
We went from playing one type of game, indie games, to a different game. So I guess it's kind of shit.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get that.
It was a lane change. How about that? It was a lane change.
Yeah, we changed lanes, and now we're staying in our lane, like people always say.
Yeah.
I just recently listened to your Batman episode, and something you said about Batman games made me imagine a platforming Batman game in the style of Mark of the Ninja, but instead of skills, you gain technology. I would play the heck out of that. Dude, you are speaking my damn language here. I would love what he is talking about. That'd be amazing.
Get on it, Jonathan.
Oh my gosh. Mark of the Ninja still. I want to play Mark of the Ninja now. This has made me want to go play that.
I do too. And it does feel like it feels like it would fit well with the Batman kind of theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me some 2D.
I like that instead of skills, you gain tech, because that's what Batman's all about, that tech gains.
Yeah, dude. Because he doesn't have any abilities, really. I mean, he's strong.
No, he's just a human.
He's strong, he's acrobatic, and he's in shape, but that's really it.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's devious.
He's devious. Devious. Yeah, I'll give you that. That's a really great suggestion. He goes on to say another thought was around productivity sims. I know Scott likes games like Hardspace Shipbreaker, and the productivity sims have been popular these days. I call them Chorecore. Anyway, I'm curious if you know of any retro productivity sims. If so, what would you say is the oldest and oldest productivity sim? Thanks again for the great content, Jonathan. That's a great question, and I tried to dig around and find something. The closest I can come to is a modern game, but it feels retro, and that is Factorio, all kind of 16-bit era looking graphics, but it's a big factory simulation thing, and it would count if it wasn't so new. I'm sure there's something like maybe Beer Tapper
that's interesting.
Paperboy chat room says, I mean, it's a decent kind of take.
That's very rudimentary, but that's not.
I'm trying to think of games where they had you doing like jobs. Right. I think they were rare back then. It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's a relatively new thing to electronic. I have this one called Electrician Simulator. Total blast, Brian. Total blast. Yeah. People send me their broken 16-bit era controllers into this game, like in-game, and I get to unscrew all the parts, take out all the little bits, see what chip's broken, do a little electric tests on making sure the connections. I got to solder shit. It's crazy. It's so much fun. I love that stuff. And I said shit a lot on the show. I apologize, everybody.
That's okay. That's okay. You were excited, and that's okay.
It's what happens when I get excited. I shit all over the place.
Hey, speaking of, did we mention this before you read that text message? Did we mention that Stan sent us an email on our playretroshow@gmail.com with an attachment for all of our Guess My Games so far?
He did? Wait, where's this?
Yeah.
Where's this?
It's on the Play Retro Show Gmail account.
Hold on a second. I didn't know about this. This seems cool.
Yes. And I almost forgot about it. And he made a nice little spreadsheet, and he's got our win ratios.
What's the name? Stan. Oh, that's because you replied and it goes out of my new folder. Hold on.
Sorry about that.
No. It's all good. I'm going to open. Oh, look at this. This is great.
It's amazing. Thank you so much, Stan.
Stan, you rock, dude. So is he going to keep this up? And
I don't know, but we've got the first 43 episodes right here. It breaks down each of the games and how we did, whether we guessed it or not.
This is
even when we were goofing around with our 0.5 guesses and stuff, kind of half guessed it.
Yeah. No, this is awesome.
Which is great.
I love when people do stuff like this.
Yeah, because I was struggling. Because you think about it, we've had 44 episodes now in the bank.
Yeah.
And you got to double that because we each pick one. That's 88 games that we've tore through for Guess Our Game. So, man, it gets harder and harder. I'm like, oh, did I already do that one? Ooh, I can't remember. Maybe Scott did that one. Ooh, I don't remember.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know either, but I love this. Stan, you're the man. Stan the man.
Stay the man.
We got a text also. This is cool. We get these to us at a phone number, 801-471-0462. And we got a text from Paul who wrote, "Why is the Genesis so much freaking cooler than the SNES was?" Says Paul.
Paul calling from the console war years.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, the old
smack talk.
I'm talking from the trenches of the console wars, 1995. And I have this question. It is cool. I'm not going to... we're not going to get into that whole world again because who cares? It was always a dumb argument, but there is something about the Genesis there's a rawness to it that I've always loved. That right. just like this no nonsense, like, hey, do we have the best possible color palette and graphics? No. Do we have the best sound chip? No. Is this shit fun to play? And is it just wicked easy to get into this and just go? And is it black? And is it cool? Yes.
Right.
It is. It is cool.
I think the coolness that you're talking about is kind of like in a comparison to like, let's talk about the attitude years for the wrestling. So yeah. it's kind of like that. Genesis was doing what Nintendo don't, which was bringing attitude. They were the first persons to really bring a lot of attitude, yeah. right? And so we associate that with coolness. So, you know, SNES was just, the Nintendo was just doing their job. They're just there doing their job, bringing us quality products.
Right.
And then going, here's the quality product. And we would you know, was very serious.
It. Yeah, buy this product. You know you will. It has Mario in it. Buy it.
Yeah, yeah. And then we got to the Genesis, and it was like, oh, you're not going to buy our product. You're going to love our product. It's bad.
You're going to live our product. You're going to talk about it with your friends. You're going to, it's, look how radical it is. You know, like they really leaned into that, and I think it worked kind of.
Oh, absolutely worked.
Worked on me. Fantastic. So I really like, I like everything in the 16-bit era across the board. I like it all.
Right.
But I am kind of a Genesis fanboy, I'll admit it.
Yeah. I won't say that Genesis is better than the SNES because, you know, there's lots of ways it's not. But I will agree that maybe cooler is probably the right term.
Yeah. I think cooler is yeah. sometimes the way you want to be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul. Send us those texts, 801-471-0462, or an email would be just fine. And you can send those to playretroshow@gmail.com. Our next discussion is going to dip into the land of JRPGs once again, but we're not talking about EverQuest. We're not talking about Final Fantasy. We're talking about Dragon Quest, the other Square/Enix effort that a lot of people love. I'm a big fan of, and really love 11, which is the newish ones. Excellent.
11 is so freaking good, and it's the thing that got me to go back to play some of the old Dragon's Quest stuff that I never really played back in the day.
Yeah, so we're gonna do Dragon Quest, man. We're gonna go hard.
Yeah.
Brian, when he was first like, hey, so next week I was thinking, how about Dragon Age? I'm like, that's too new.
Yeah.
We can't start with that. He just got his age and his quest mixed up, that's all.
It was hilarious. I put, let's do Dragon Age. In my head I was going Dragon's Quest, and then when you said that's too new, and I'm like, what are you talking about? You're right.
Don't get me wrong. Dragon Age Origins is one of my favorite games ever, but that ain't what we're talking about. Inquisition's pretty good, too. Two is garbage. But they have a new one being made, so that'll be fun to see how that goes. So anyway, I like this. Brian in the chat says, Gen Xers get marketed too hard, and it worked. You're right.
Yes, that's what we did.
Well done, Sega. You got me right where it hurts. All right. That'll be next week on Play Retro, Dragon Quest, the early years. And we'll see where we end up with that. That'll be a lot of fun. In the meantime, if you'd like to support us on Patreon, boy, howdy, could we use the help. Please do. It's the holiday season, and we need your love and respect. And that comes in the way of your dollars, even as low as a dollar, if you wanted, over at patreon.com/playretro. You'll never get a commercial. You get pre-show content every single time we post a brand new episode, and you get monthly benefits that only exist for you, the supporter. Find out more at patreon.com/playretro. For everything else, it's frogpants.com/playretro. Hey, Brian, is there anything else we have to tell the people?
Stay tuned for some more Sega Mini Mega Drive 2 coverage for our patron supporters. Do appreciate that.
We got more coming,
I've got some more stuff. I got it set up again, and I was playing through, and I can't wait for next week when we get a little bit of Dragon's Age. No, Dragon's Quest. No.
Dragon Quest. There you go. And it's Dragon, not Dragon's Quest. Just Dragon.
Dragon. No, singular. There's only singular the one dragon
quest.
On the quest.
One quest, one dragon, winner takes all. Anyway, Brian also plays these games all the time. You can check him out most nights, 6 p.m. Eastern, watch him play this business. I stream here or there as well over at Frog Pants on Twitch. You can find him at The Brian Dunaway. No, just Brian Dunaway.
That's just me.
Is it
just
The? Or is it The? It's just, no, that's Twitter.
No, The on Twitch. Only on Twitter.
Twitter. T for Twitter. Twitter, T for The. I got it. Now I have it. Oh, wait. Twitch also has a T. Shoot, doesn't work.
Ah!
Anyway, whatever. That'll do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Go play something retro. And we'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
マリオカート64